Hello everybody, welcome to the show. I am your host, Davin James. Today's episode is recorded on the 15th of May. I hope everyone's doing well, hope you're having a good day. And as always, I hope you guys enjoy today's episode. Now today, we're going to talk about how justice has been served. And what I mean by that is through the case of the Doomsday Mum, also known as Lori Barlow, who some people might be familiar with. In this episode, some people might not be familiar with. I myself was not familiar with her until like late last year, where I started following like true crime trials and whatnot after the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial had begun. And like many people who did not know anything about Lori Barlow, I was interested in hearing about who she was, why is she on trial, and when will this trial actually begin, sort of thing. So the way to explain is that Lori Barlow was a once devoted mum who then became the most notorious woman in America. That's basically the gist of things. So some of the charges she was facing was grand theft, conspiracy to murder, and also first degree murder. Following the deaths of her children. That's right, she killed her own children. What the hell is wrong with her? That's a question we all like to know. So her children were Tylee Ryan, who was aged for 16, Joshua J.J. Barlow, who was 7 years old. And she also, get this, planned for the murder of Tammy Daybell, who was her new husband's first wife. I don't know why exactly she decided to target the first wife of her husband, of a new husband. Hell, I don't even know why she decided to target her kids, but this bitch is crazy. So, who knows what the hell's going on in her little brain. And her crimes were connected to a doomsday plot, which I can't remember what exactly that meant. But if I remember correctly, and if anyone knows what I'm on about, you could obviously correct me. But she was like part of some religious cult, I guess she was. And I think she felt like the world was going to end or something like that. And that would drove her crazy. Again, I could be completely wrong. I think that's something I heard either on the trials, the previous trial she was on, or hearings rather. Or the documentary, the Netflix documentary on her. Either way, I'm not too sure, so I probably shouldn't have said that, because I could be completely wrong. But again, if anyone knows what I'm trying to get at, then please feel free to correct me. She is soon set to be sentenced in around 90 days, so not too long, hopefully. And although she was surrounded by her legal team in the trial while the verdict was being read out, she stood completely still, her face unchanging as the jury's verdict was read out. And that's one thing I found interesting about this woman. Her face never seemed to show any compassion, any emotion. Sure, you could argue some people don't show emotion or compassion straight away. Some people have a hard time doing that. Sure, okay. But when you're on trial for basically killing your kids and also attempting to kill your husband's first wife, and these are quite serious crimes and you could be facing a hell of a long time in prison for these said crimes, I would feel like you would have some sort of emotion, you know, to show that you wouldn't, that you feel regret or that these allegations are not true. These crimes were not done by you. You know what I mean? Like, certain things like that to show the people watching and the people in the courtroom that these are all false and you're not this monster that people make you out to be, if that makes sense. But at last, she did none of that. She was always smiling, playing with her hair, joking, you know, that sort of thing with her lawyers or whatever. Quite the opposite of an approach that you should be taking inside of a courtroom when you're facing charges such as that, well, such as murders and Grand Theft and so on and so forth. But I digress, you know, that's just my opinion. But I did feel like, okay, well, this is telling me that you're not taking this very seriously. Or if you are, you're going the wrong way about it. And that your emotions right now seem to be more about, you know, playing up to the cameras or, you know, thinking this is a big circus or I don't know, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, this trial was not televised. Unless, well, until the verdict, that is. Throughout the whole trial, the judge, like before the trial actually began, sorry, the judge mentioned that he was not going to be allowing any cameras in the courtroom at the time of this trial because he wanted to make sure it was a fair trial. There was no, you know, reasons for a mistrial or, you know, stuff like that. He didn't want to make sure, he didn't want to feel like the cameras were having an impact on the case itself or the trial, which I completely respect. You know, you gotta do what you gotta do. You wanna make sure you get this case done and over with, and you wanna make sure that everything goes smooth as possible, rather. There was audio releases for this trial, but I never listened to them because I wanted to hear, well, I wanted to see and hear at the same time, if it makes sense. I wanted to see this bitch's face one last time before she did get a sentence, well, before she was found guilty. Because I know for a fact, once that's done and dusted, she won't be smiling and she won't be treating us as fun and games from that moment onwards. But also to talk about in this situation is the grandparents of Joshua J.J. Barlow, who were obviously the parents of Laurie Barlow, who were not silent during this whole case. They were outspoken. They shared their opinions quite often. And they even pushed for cameras to be allowed in the courtroom for this trial. But unfortunately, obviously, they only have so much say in that matter. That's not a decision that they can make. That goes to the judge and the higher-ups and whatnot. But they were there throughout the courtroom and throughout the trial all the time. Throughout the last couple of weeks, however long the trial was on for. And they issued a statement regarding this verdict. One message said, "My final message for Laurie," began Mr. Whipcock, before breaking into song, "The Party's Over." And this was a song that he and his grandson used to sing together when they were around each other. It went, "Turn out the lights, the party's over. They say that all good things must end." And then he began to address his daughter saying, "It's ended, Laurie, it's ended." Meanwhile, his uncle, Joshua JJ's uncle said, "They got the bitch." Quite simple, quite blunt. Enough said. And then Mr. Whipcock went on to add that the family would return to the courtroom in around 90 days for the sentencing of Laurie Barlow, which I hope would be streamed. I'm very intrigued to see her reaction to when she gets sentenced to prison, or life in prison. If that is the correct, well, not correct, but if that is the sentencing that she's going to be facing once it happens. But we shall see. And the family have also continued to fight for justice with Chad Daybell, who was the husband of Laurie Barlow, who is also set to stand trial sometime next year for the murder charges, and as well as Laurie Barlow stand trial for the murder of JJ's father and her fourth husband, Charles Barlow. So, as of right now, we got two more trials, he said. "The next trial is Chad. I look forward to being back in his courthouse again." Chad Daybell is believed to have met Laurie through their shared interest in a movement that promoted planning for Doomsday, which is what I mentioned earlier. The Doomsday was this beginning of the end sort of thing, that the world was going to end. So in 2018, they began doing a podcast together to promote their beliefs, which claimed that people either had light or dark spirits inside them, and the only way to free someone from the dark spirit was to kill them. So I believe that she felt that her kids must have had dark spirits inside them, if that's what I'm going off of, where I'm seeing this right here. It was the grandparents, Larry and Leigh, who first contacted police back in 2019, where they were concerned about the well-being of their grandson, JJ, and his sister, Ty Lee. 9 months into the investigation, authorities discovered the remains of the children in shallow graves on the property of Chad Daybell. Addressing his late grandson, Mr. Woodcock said, "Through tears, JJ, I love you. Papa wishes you were here. In other circumstances, Ty Lee, Papa also loves you." It's sad, man. Like, it's sad that people go to certain lengths because they're crazy people and they commit such crazy crimes. Like, what the hell did these kids ever do to you? Like, what the hell went through your mind when you thought about when you were doing this crime? These are your kids. These are the people you brought into the world. And you're taking them out of this world. Like, what the hell are you thinking? Obviously, she was not thinking, and Chad was obviously not thinking. I don't know what's going to happen with this trial come next year. Obviously, that's still a long time away. But if that's going to be streamed, then I'm very interested in checking that one out. And I'm glad that justice was at least done in terms of putting Laurie behind bars. And, well, soon to be put behind bars. And hopefully this guy, Chad Daybell, he'll be put behind bars as well within the next year or so. So with that being said, well, first of all, let me know your thoughts on this episode. And if you're familiar with this trial, then let me know your thoughts on the trial overall. Or the case overall, I should say. But until next time, thank you very much for listening. Take care, stay safe, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.